Restless Leg Syndrome.
Hey, Hardy. We're going to talk about Restless Leg Syndrome, also known as Willis-Ekbom disease. And this is really common. So 10 to 15% of the population will suffer from this at some time in their life.
Wow, 10 to 15%. That is impressive. And the symptoms may be mild and intermittent, all the way right through to severe and disabling. And we tend to see those with persistent symptoms because, hey, if you can't sleep because your legs are moving around all the time, maybe you want to go see your doctor.
That's it. Now, did you know that the diagnostic criteria for restless leg is set out by the International Restless Leg Study Group?
You know what I imagine here, Casey? I imagine a group of people sitting around at a table fidgeting, like just moving their legs all the time.
Now, in order to meet the criteria for this, all of the following criteria must be met. There's five of them. Take us away.
Okay, so I'll talk about the first one. And it is an urge to move the legs, usually but not always accompanied by or felt to be caused by uncomfortable and unpleasant sensations in the legs. You want to move your legs because they just feel weird.
Now, the number two criteria is the urge to move the legs and sensation that begin during periods of rest or inactivity, such as when you're laying down, sitting, or trying to get to sleep at night.
Okay, third criteria. These symptoms are partially or totally relieved by movement, such as walking or stretching, at least as long as the activity continues.
And the fourth criteria is the symptoms are worse in the evening or at the night, more so than the day.
And lastly, number five, the occurrence of the above features are not solely accounted for as symptoms primary to another medical or behavioral condition, such as myalgia, venous stasis, or leg edema.
That's it. So those are the five. You have to have all five. The severity of restless leg syndrome is determined by the frequency of the symptoms and the degree of impact that it has on sleep, work, home, school, energy levels, and mood. Restless leg syndrome can be secondary to a number of medical problems, such as, Hardy?
Well, we got a few of them here, anemia, end-stage renal failure, and pregnancy, and I know you've got a few more.
Yeah, so peripheral neuropathy, lumbar radiculopathy, antidepressant medications, especially the SSRIs and SNRIs, and dopamine antagonists such as metoclopramide can also cause this.
Diagnosis is based on history and examination to detect other neurological issues such as Parkinsonism, multiple sclerosis, chorea, and to look for secondary causes that we mentioned above.
Now, let's move on to treatment. First, it's very easy. Remove any of those reversible causes if it's possible. And then there are a number of simple non-pharmacological treatments which we can try, such as
avoiding caffeine, nicotine, and alcohol, stretching exercises like Pilates or yoga, heat or cold packs on the legs, massage, and distraction with mental activities such as reading, puzzles, doing Sudoku, or listening to podcasts.
That's it. Now, of course, medications, that's usually why the patients come to see us. The traditional first line were dopaminergic agonists such as L-DOPA. But beware, this can cause augmentation of symptoms, which means that patients treated with L-DOPA can get the symptoms earlier and earlier in the day, and it may actually spread to involve their trunk or upper limbs as well. The direct dopamine antagonists have sort of taken over now as first line, and they include agents such as pramipexol and rotigotine, which sounds like a nice curry.
It does. Very tasty. We'll have to try it. Other medications you can use are the benzodiazepines, even though there is no actual RCT data to support their use, but they do seem to help people sleep. And you consider opiates if you want to go out on a bit of a limb. Look at longer-acting opiates because they're somewhat effective, but they do carry all the usual side effects of this class of medications.
Yep, and we do sometimes use the newer anticonvulsant agents such as gabapentin or pregabalin, and they're probably less efficacious than the dopamine agents, but they don't cause that ugly augmentation of symptoms, so they can be useful in those patients that have failed the dopamine agents. Of course, there is a lot of variation in response between individuals and side effect profiles for each patient, so they often need to trial several different agents and see what it is that works for them.
One thing I see used an awful lot is magnesium, but unfortunately this has shown no benefit in randomized trials. But there is some data to show that IV iron supplementation may assist patients with end-stage renal disease and restless leg syndrome. Now, Casey, if we're done here, I really need to go for a walk. My legs are driving me crazy.
Go for it, Hardy. I'll meet you at the end of the block.